Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language, and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by going to pleasuremechanics.com or by calling 302-IN-TOUCH and leaving a voicemail message. On today's episode, we're offering a beginner's guide to great sex, offering tips and strategies specifically aimed for people who are new to sexuality, but we do want to emphasize that everyone has a lot to learn from what we'll be offering today, so definitely stay tuned. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading a quite epic question submitted by one of our listeners.
Hi, Pleasure Mechanics. I often listen to your delightful podcast. I will now try to challenge your nothing is taboo motto by inquiring into something you've never come close to discussing. So brace yourselves. I wonder about beginners, that is, men and women who are justifiably ready for sex but have never had sex, i.e. coitus. What follows is a small sample of practical beginner questions that come to my mind. I bet you can come up with some other good practical questions which you may also want to address in your podcast sometime for the countless people who are far less sexually experienced than you or your regular clients. First question, how can a male beginner who has only a vague idea what physical action to take during sex overcome confusion long enough to maintain an erection? Second question, how can a female beginner, if she has little strength and experience, especially compared to men, get comfortable enough to do anything other than remain motionless during sex? Third question, how can a male beginner maintain an erection and pleasure, despite thinking his genital sensitivity is shut off when his condom is put on? Fourth question, how can either a male or female beginner, even if he/she believes sex can be a great expression of love, overcome a simultaneous de-energizing feeling that sex is also kind of gross? Thanks so much.
Well, we love multiple questions about as much as we love multiple orgasms. So we are going to dive into this epic inquiry by starting with your last question, because we believe that your attitude about sex is really essential to defining your experience of sex. And the truth is, so many of us in this culture still live with a sense of shame and fear and guilt and even disgust about sexuality. This is just part of our cultural legacy after centuries and centuries in which sexuality was thought of as dirty, sinful, degrading, and even criminalized. And we're moving into an era where sexuality can be much more free and open expression of love, as you said, and a personal expression of pleasure. But we're not there yet as a culture. And so each of us carries with us that legacy of sexual shame. And so the first thing to work on is your attitude about sex.
I think that the first way of beginning to dismantle the idea that sex is gross, which you have to understand is not your idea, right? That is our cultural idea that you have taken on. So the best way to begin is just to look at it face on, know that it's not yours, and begin to question where you're getting that from. Is it from society at large? Is it from your family? Is it from your church? These places are often telling us that message. So you can choose to disagree with that cultural message, but it does take work, sometimes a lifetime of work, to really get to the real bottom of it. So just be patient and compassionate with yourself, knowing that you're not the only person thinking that.
I think it's also really essential to keep in mind that by changing your attitudes about sex, you are joining a movement that is reclaiming sexuality from our legacy of oppression and moving it forward into a healthy, pleasurable, safe sex culture for all. And so if it helps to think of yourself as part of that movement, then join us as pleasure activists and really confront messages of sexual shaming wherever you find them. And I think it's also important to get really specific about what your feelings are. Some people think sex is sinful. Some people think sex is dirty. Some people think it's degrading to women.
And some people find that the idea of sex is gross because they are not comfortable with the idea of body fluids and sharing them and being really close up in them. And I think this is especially true when people are new to bodies and sexuality. And one way you can alleviate certain kinds of concerns is showering together before you begin, but also know that you're just exploring new fluids and new
smells and tastes and textures.
Yeah, and that is natural. And get curious about it instead of grossed out about it. It's like women's scents and fluids are really interesting and they change all the time. And just, yeah, get curious about it.
And basic hygiene goes a long way. You know, I think in the realm of sex tips for beginners, maintaining good body hygiene is at the top of the list. It's much more pleasant to give oral sex after someone has showered and rinsed and is nice and clean. Some people love the dirty, sweaty body scents, but as a beginner, you know, being more comfortable in your body can start with, as Charlotte said, the preparation, the ritual of preparing your body to be intimate with another person's. So showering, using soap that's really nice and smells lovely, and making sure you get in all your creases and crevices. So I think the point is getting specific about your concerns and your anxieties around sex and then dealing with them strategically. I know a lot of people who have anxiety around the sinfulness of sex who go and speak with their priest or their rabbi and talk to them about it and kind of get the green light to have sex within that religion's boundaries. Or if you're having a lot of anxiety about your performance issues, then having a conversation with your lover and being like, I'm nervous, this feels new to me, can we just explore slowly? And by having these very direct conversations with what induces your shame, you can start alleviating it. But no, it's not, you know, a light switch where you just turn it off. This is a lifetime of work to start reclaiming your desire and reclaiming your right to have a healthy sexuality. And that brings me to our next point. What we really want to focus on is having a healthy, authentic expression of your sexuality. So the most important thing when you're new to sex is not having sex when you don't want to. People have sex for a ton of reasons, and a lot of times they are not connected to an authentic desire for sexual intimacy with that particular person. And you can't really have a great sex life if you're doing it for the wrong reasons. So as you begin, make sure that you're going at a pace that's comfortable to you, you want to be having sex with this person, and you're doing it for reasons that are authentic to who you are. Let's get into some specifics for men and women exploring sexuality for the first time, or for the 100th time, or for the millionth time, because all of these things are things I really wished I knew when I first started having sex as a teenager, but they're also things that are great reminders, no matter how deep into your sexual journey you are, that will help you have an even better sex life.
Absolutely. And before we start talking about intercourse, let's talk about foreplay. Because one of the ways you can really get more comfortable with somebody else and with your body is really to be exploring each other's pleasure in a more relaxed way, so that then sex becomes, or intercourse becomes, more of a just a gradual extension of the exploration and play that you guys are already doing. So it doesn't become this like thing that you do right or wrong as much as an extension of what you're already doing together.
I think this is where movies do us a real disservice, because constantly, and Charlotte and I are always groaning at movies and TV where you see a couple kissing and making out, and 3 seconds later, the man is thrusting inside her.
I actually feel so mad about it. I feel like it's so irresponsible because it happens all the time. If you begin to notice, it's everywhere.
All the time.
It's terrible. And it's like, that is the worst sex you could possibly ever be having. And I feel like the fact that they like glorify it and make it like as if this is what sex looks like is such a disservice to people's bodies. I think it's so fucked up.
You should see Charlotte's face so right now. She's raging. And I think the reason we feel so upset about this is because if that's the way you have sex, it is not going to be pleasurable for a woman. The female body needs to be prepared for penetration. And that's actually true of the male body too, if we're talking about anal penetration, but that's another episode. You know, being penetrated by even a little finger, let alone a big penis, is an intense sexual moment. And it is so much more delicious and romantic and pleasurable if the body is fully prepared and ready for it. And so foreplay is not just about going through the motions. It's about giving one another so much pleasure and arousing one another's bodies that you are ready to move towards orgasm or move towards intercourse. And so one of the Pleasure Mechanics' golden rules of sex is that the female should have orgasms before intercourse.
Or be really close.
So aroused that she is just aching for it and ready for it long before you put your penis inside her. So the way you do this is by exploring one another's bodies with your hands.
Fingering is one of the best ways to give pleasure to a woman. It has been underappreciated as a sexual skill, but if you want to be stimulating her clitoris and or her G-spot area, the hands are really best suited for this. So if you are interested in female pleasure and orgasm, you're gonna learn how to use your hands well to give her pleasure far before you have intercourse.
And our video guide, The Pleasure Mechanics Guide to Fingering, is designed to show you how to go from a gradual warm-up to really awesome clitoral stimulation techniques, to G-spot stimulation techniques, so you can prepare her entire sexual system to be ready for intercourse, or to give her orgasms as a complete sexual experience on its own. And I think what's essential here is, you know, intercourse is a beautiful, pleasurable, hot, sexy act. We are never going to encourage people to take it off the menu. But you also need to understand that it's not always the main course. It doesn't have to be the end-all and be-all of sexual expression. There are so many ways we can love each other and get intimate and give one another pleasure, and intercourse can just be a small part of that. And for women, most women, over 70% of women, do not have orgasms from intercourse alone. The clitoris is the centerpiece of the female sexual system and should be the focus of your stimulation of the female body. So learning how to finger with awesome skills, learning how to go down on a woman and give her amazing oral sex, these should all be kind of prerequisites for before you start having anxiety about how you're performing during intercourse.
Yeah, because if you explore arousing each other in that way for many, many occasions, you're going to be more comfortable with each other's bodies. You're going to have some sort of communication back and forth. What feels good? Does this feel good? Do you like this? And the more that you do that, the more comfortable you'll be with each other. So by the time you get to intercourse, it'll just be much more comfortable and you won't feel so anxious about it. The anxiety is often because the relationship is new too, so you don't have like resilience and practice in sharing pleasure together.
So use foreplay, use couples massage and fingering and oral sex to get really comfortable with one another's bodies, maybe before you even attempt intercourse. But certainly all throughout your relationship, these should be major dishes on your erotic menu, and always prioritize giving the woman an orgasm or getting her really, really highly aroused before you move on to intercourse. Once you're approaching intercourse, here are some suggestions to make it even more pleasurable. The first thing that women need to know and be given permission to do is maintain clitoral stimulation during intercourse. So usually the most practical way to do this is for her to reach down and touch her own clitoris in ways that feel good to her as you begin to penetrate her, and then all throughout the intercourse. And this is going to make intercourse way more pleasurable for her.
I think another piece that would be really valuable to include in a new lovemaking situation is letting her be the one to determine and decide and voice when she would like penetration to occur. If it is a new experience, giving her the power to say when to get penetrated will alleviate any of your anxiety about, is this okay? Is she ready? All of those thoughts, and put that in her court. And it will let her take ownership and say when she's ready. So I would really recommend having a conversation with her when you guys feel like you're ready to have sex, and invite her to say when she's ready to be penetrated.
I think that's such a beautiful strategy, and it really is one of these strategies that goes against what sex culture has been for centuries, which is men penetrating women when they're ready and at their own pleasure, and gives that power to women to say, yes, I invite you into my body. And that is a really beautiful switch that can totally change the dynamic. And then when men are invited in, they know it's okay. They know they have full consent, and they can penetrate slowly and gracefully and beautifully. And that first moment of penetration is one of the most delicious. And by making it an invitation rather than a domination, you change everything. So please try that strategy out, whether you're a beginner or not, and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think that first moment of penetration can be so delicious. It's not always, but
it can. How do you make it delicious, Charlotte?
I think that one of the ways is to begin holding the tip of the penis at the entrance to the vagina, like holding it there, pulsing a little bit, like
building anticipation.
Totally. You're having a conversation. I mean, you know, you're looking at each other in the eyes. You're just, yeah, you're pulsing. You're getting ready. And then when she says she's ready, then you begin moving inside so incredibly slowly.
How slowly?
Like an inch every few breaths. So you're just moving incredibly slowly. And once you're all the way in, which has taken a while, then hold still for a while and breathe together for a while, just being inside her. And this can be a really beautiful way to start. And again, you can ask her when she wants you to start moving more. But this just can be a really gentle way to begin. It can be intimate. It takes the stress away from you. You don't have to perform any kind of way. You just have to be with her and get connected. Because our culture is obsessed with this jackrabbit thrusting vision of men having sex with women. And it really doesn't have to be that way. You can...
Like that?
Yes. She's like punching her hand against her hand. Yes. And, you know, you can build up to that and do that for a while, but it's not the only way you can have sex, and it's not correct, right? Like, there's no actual correct way to have sex or not. That is one way that some people like, and a lot of people overuse because they think it's the only way you're supposed to do it. So please just try and push that from your mind and know that how you want to thrust, how you want to move, the pace you want to go is really a dance that you guys get to make up. And so just start slowly, move slowly, and see where it takes you. It's hard to take away the scripting that we have been so indoctrinated with. We all have been seeing this image forever, hearing about this image. It's hard to reject that. But try and just begin by trying to pay attention to what you feel like doing.
Because I think intercourse, when you really look at the mechanics of it, right, is you're inserting the penis into the vagina for your mutual satisfaction, hopefully. So when you break it down to that, it's like there's so many ways to give a massage to an aching shoulder. There are so many ways to stimulate the penis and the vagina together. So some of the ideas are, you know, a really long, slow thrust, or undulating, so you're rocking down and then arcing back up, or moving your hips in circles while you're inserted fully, so you're inside her but then moving around the vaginal wall, or two short thrusts followed by a long thrust. Like, there's all of these different patterns and tempos and movements that you can play with, And by doing that, you can see what feels best to you. You can see how she's responding and what feels best to her. And have that communication being open makes the experience much more pleasurable and authentic and organic for both of you. So as we're saying, like, reject the script, the idea that there's one right way to have intercourse and you're either doing it right or wrong, and go towards the model of mutual pleasure. What feels good in that moment with your specific expression? And this brings me to my next point, is I really want to focus on an authentic expression of pleasure being possible for both of you. So you asked, how do women not just lie still and motionless? And you start unlocking that by giving her permission and giving yourself permission to express yourself during sex. And expression can look a bunch of different ways. We have verbal communication where you talk and you say, oh yes, that's feeling really good, or ooh, that's a little uncomfortable, or ooh, can you just slow down a little bit, or hold still and kiss me. You ask for what you want and express what you're feeling in the moment. In addition to verbal communication, we also have physical communication, body language, using your body to tell your lover what feels good and what doesn't, being able to move, using your hands to touch your lover's entire body. You can also use sounds, nonverbal sounds, moans, groans, growls, oohs and ahs to express yourself. All of these tools are tools we have as human beings in our body that are designed for sexual pleasure, right? Like, we are an organism that is designed for a specific, authentic expression of pleasure while we're in the moment. And the reason we feel so shy about so many of those things is because of our culture. It's not because we're not capable of them. We are designed for sexual pleasure. And so giving your body permission to do what it's designed to do and express yourself sexually will open up the sexual experience tremendously and give you a much broader base of sexual pleasure to play in.
And know that learning how to be expressive is also a lifetime's work. So if it feels intimidating, just start with something that feels manageable, and each time you explore, keep opening up how you're expressing. So start simply. Chris has a YouTube video on, like, making sounds during sex, where you just begin with making sound on your exhale, and then she goes from there, I believe. But it's a skill, and yes. So know that you're beginning, but what's important is attempting it.
And I think for women, and I hate the term, but I'm going to use it, the dead fish syndrome, the cold fish syndrome, where women just lie motionless and allow themselves to be fucked like a hole. That is part of the sexual culture we need to retire once and for all. It is never sexy. It is never enjoyable to pretend like you're a corpse being fucked. And I use graphic language here because that's kind of our attitude around it, is that, you know, and a lot of times women are so intoxicated on alcohol that they kind of just go numb. A lot of people have trauma responses where they go numb and stay still. And for me, that is not actively, consensually participating in the sex act, right? Like, we would never, you know, have a conversation with someone who is just staring at us catatonically and not responding. And eroticism, sexual intimacy, is a conversation that has to be two-sided, or it's not a conversation. So if your partner is not responding at all and is just locked down, then you need to stop what you're doing. Just curl up together, get intimate, and talk or cuddle or just hold way back and figure out what's going on with each other until you can get back to that place of mutual pleasure and mutual responsiveness and being active in the act together. And I'm going to go on a little tangent here. This is probably a topic for a whole nother show, but I need to say that going catatonic and lying still and not making any sound is a very common response for women who have experienced sexual trauma in the past. It's a freeze response that is part of the body's protection system when you're being assaulted, and then you have to unlearn it to have consensual sex. And so for any women out there who feel like when they're trying to get intimate with their partner, even when it's consensual, even when it's desired, and then they just freeze up, you need to maybe think about your history and see if trauma is in the bedroom with you today. And there are lots of resources out there. If you go to our website and hit the word survivors in the index, you'll get to an article I wrote that kind of starts unpacking how we recover our ability to be sexually responsive with a history of trauma. So responsiveness is part of consensuality, I think, is my main point here. And when you're having sex with your partner, you want them to be responsive, you want them to be present, you want them to be active in the exchange. And if they're not, stop what you're doing, slow way down, and reconnect and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, that's all important, but I do just want to say that if you're having sex with a woman who's completely drunk and catatonic, that is technically rape. Yes. So please don't do that. Please do not do that. Do not get into that situation. Do not be that person. And there are a lot of people that don't realize they're raping people. There are a lot of men who realize retroactively that what they did was rape. So please just prioritize in your sex life at the beginning and forever that you will make sure you're getting really conscious consent and that you're only having sex with women that are awake and conscious. But I also want to say that, yes, there is the trauma response, but there are also a lot of women who haven't trained themselves yet to be responsive, which can be a separate issue, because they also have undergone all of these cultural shamings and don't know yet how to use their body expressively. So there are several complicated issues going on here at once. So if you're a lover, you're in a consensual situation with your lover, you are now wanting to explore more sex. You can encourage her to be expressive. Anytime she makes any kind of noise, tell her you love it when she does that. It's so sexy when she moans, groans. You know, use positive reinforcement to let her know that when she is being responsive, that you really enjoy it. Or get in a different position. Sometimes, frankly, it's hard to move when you're lying on your back on a really comfy mattress that you sink into it. So get into a different position if missionary is having her just lie still. Have her go on top. Ask her if she wants to explore that. It's pretty hard for a woman to do nothing when she's on top. Like, that is activating her.
It's putting her in control of the depth of penetration, the speed of penetration, how she moves. Being on top is actually a very advanced sexual skill, but it is a very empowering one as well. Hands and knees, doggy style, can be a really delicious way to explore intercourse because she can be a little more free to move her hips and you see her body from a new angle. And it might be easier for you too, because this is the other thing about intercourse, and any woman who has practiced strap-on sex has a lot more compassion for the work it takes to thrust continuously for 20, 30 minutes on end. Like, it's a really long time to be doing an acrobatic athletic move like that. And so changing positions also gives your body a break as you develop sexual strength and stamina.
Yeah, so feel free to shift it around, but tell her that you enjoy it when she lets you know what feels good and what doesn't feel good.
Which also, everyone can use positive reinforcement in the bedroom. And if you say it authentically, it goes a long way. Like, tell her that her pussy is beautiful. Tell her you find her body beautiful. Tell her that she's sexy. Tell her how much you love her, if that's true for you. But kind words in sex are an elixir for all of us, because all of us are a little ashamed, a little uncomfortable about our bodies, a little unsure of how we're performing. So just create the culture within your relationship where you give each other tons of compliments in and out of the bedroom. You know, tell her how gorgeous she is all the time, and it will hopefully start sinking in.
If it's authentic.
What's the alternative there? You look moderately good today.
Well, but like, you know,
it's... Honey, you look above average.
But, you know, it's like, if there's something that you genuinely think is looking good, or like a particular characteristic that you think is particularly attractive or beautiful in that moment. I just don't mean like lie so that you can get more ass, which I think is something people do a lot.
Right.
And I'm just saying, you know, please try and be authentic.
For sure.
All right, so you had a million questions. Let's see, have we answered? Oh no, let's talk about condoms.
Oh, some condom tips.
Yes.
So condoms and barrier methods to sexually transmitted diseases and unwanted pregnancy are just part of our sexual reality. And they're not ideal, and we can also learn how to work with them to make them a little bit more pleasurable and less interruptive of your sexual experience.
I think we just have to learn how to integrate them into a sexual experience and not think of them as an interruption. You know, so practice putting them on your own so that you feel like you could not fumbling with the packet and that doesn't feel anxious. Find ones that fit well. Find ones that aren't too loose on you. You can try a couple different types.
A lot of online condom stores or online sex stores sell sampler packs. So order a sampler pack of condoms and try on 12 different brands and see which one you like best. You know, because it's just like putting on socks that don't fit and they're a little uncomfortable in your shoes, right? Like that bagginess can be really annoying.
Did you just call a vagina a shoe?
You know what I mean. So find condoms that fit well, practice putting them on, try putting a drop of water-based lubricant into the tip of the condom before you roll it onto your penis. And this adds a little bit of wetness and slipperiness around the head of your penis, which is where a lot of the nerve endings are. And then just, you know, think of it as your superpower sheath for sexual intercourse, and it's going to protect you from a lot of anxiety and worry and unwanted consequences of sex, and embrace it. And I also think here, knowing that sexual intercourse and the sexual exchange doesn't have to end with you having an ejaculation inside her vagina, and taking away that script and taking away that pressure can free you to explore intercourse, have fun with it, you know, experience a lot of arousal and turn on. And then if you want to, you can always pull out, take off the condom, and finish off in another way. Use your hands or whatever you want to have an orgasm that's not attached to the intercourse. So if you're finding yourself desensitized by the condom, like eventually you'll build up tolerance to them and get used to them. But in the meantime, you know, play with it, experiment with it, and don't have one outcome in mind that makes or breaks the sexual success of your session.
Yeah, and the genital sensitivity being slightly dulled can also assist you in lasting longer if you want to. But please also don't correlate lasting longer with being a good lover. Like, it is not the one sign of being a good lover. If it's your first time or if it's new, you may not last that long, and that's okay.
What is the definition of a good lover?
Oh my, that's a whole other podcast.
But the short answer, perhaps, is the ability to give and receive pleasure authentically and remember that you have your whole body to do that. You can touch your lover's whole body. And this is, again, like de-emphasizing intercourse as the end-all and be-all of sexual expression is a really freeing attitude to take, because it means you can be this tremendously beautiful, good lover and touch your lover's body with so much skill and confidence and give them beautiful massage and give them lots of orgasms with your hand and be intimate and present and kiss them passionately. And that's the kind of lover people want. They don't want someone who can thrust 150 times in a specific rhythm.
Yeah, and especially if you prioritized her pleasure prior to having intercourse, you know that she is already pleasured and warmed up, and it takes some of the pressure off, you know, this quote-unquote big moment where you are having intercourse. Yeah, so prioritize her pleasure first, and you'll set yourself up to succeed, which is mutual pleasure. Like, I feel like that's the goal, is both of you enjoying yourself.
Also know that erections will come and go. This idea that a man gets erect, stays erect as long as he wants, then has an ejaculation, and then gets unerect is a really big myth that puts a lot of pressure on men and makes it really personal for a woman if a man loses his erection. Even that word, loses. Like, erections are a biological function. Blood will flow in and out. You'll get semi-erect. You'll get hard. You'll get harder than you ever thought possible. And all of that is a flow. It's like the ocean. And don't correlate, you know, how hard you are with how aroused you are. Start exploring full body arousal that isn't contingent on a rock hard erection to communicate how turned on you are. So how is that for a beginner's guide to great sex? We covered a ton of different points. I'm sure there's more we could find, and we will try to always keep in mind beginners and, you know, intermediate and way advanced people as we do these podcasts, because as the Pleasure Mechanics, we are here to serve everyone who wants to experience more sexual pleasure. And we don't judge. Like, wherever you are on your sexual journey is exactly where you are. And from that point, way more sexual pleasure is possible. And that's true if you've been having sex for 40 years or if you are approaching your first time having sex and have never been naked with someone before. The human capacity for sexual pleasure is limitless. And this is one of the things that's so motivating to us and so exciting, is that no matter where you are, more is possible. And we both, even as professional sex educators for 10 years, are committed to constantly unwrapping new levels of pleasure and how to be more intimate and authentic and honest with each other. And sexual expression is just a beautiful, beautiful part of our lives. And you can always access new places and new experiences and new levels of pleasure. So we are committed to all of y'all, and let us know how we can best serve you.
Absolutely. It's a never ending.
The never ending journey.
What is that from?
The never ending story with that big flying dog.
Oh my
and
God.
Drowning horse. And...
That's so wrong to use that about sexual pleasure then, but that's okay.
We can work with it. I mean, if you really think about your sexual pleasure as a lifelong journey, then it's always motivating to take yourself to the next level and explore new dimensions and have fun with it. Like, sex shouldn't be anxiety producing. It only is because we live in a really twisted sex culture that we, and hopefully you, are committed to changing towards a sex culture that's healthy and pleasurable and safe for us all.
And we do that choice by choice.
Moment by moment.
Yeah.
Orgasm by orgasm.
Conversation by conversation. Unscripting.
Thrust by thrust. We could keep going, but you get the point. So we are here for you. You can reach out to us at pleasuremechanics.com. We offer free sex advice. You can ask us anything. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes of Speaking of Sex over at pleasuremechanics.com or by calling 302-IN-TOUCH.
And this person who wrote, feel free to be in touch. Let us know if you have any other questions or how things went.
It was an anonymous question, but hopefully you are listening.
Right. We would love to know how it goes.
You know, one of the things we love about the free sex advice we offer is we often get into dialogues with people and offer them free sex advice over time. And we are really here for you as you explore. And no question is too dumb or too complicated. We will do our best to assist you.
Or too taboo.
Taboo.
Was that an accent moment? So make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing to this podcast. And for free weekly sex advice, exclusive giveaways, and more, join our newsletter over at pleasuremechanics.com. As a listener of Speaking of Sex, we'd love to offer you 20% off any of our download-to-own video guides, so you can discover how to touch every inch of your lover's body with more skill and confidence. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX, all one word, on the second page of checkout at pleasuremechanics.com. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.